Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
So you can open your Bibles this morning at Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Psalm 146. I'm reading from the ESV translation. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Amen. Thanks, Tim. Well, as I was given an opportunity to preach this morning, I was praying about it and I was asking the Lord, Lord, what is it that the believers at Central Baptist Church need to hear this morning when it comes to caring for orphaned and vulnerable children? Now, I think most of us understand that there's a great need to care for orphaned and vulnerable children. You've seen the video at Bethesda as well. You see, whether it is to care for orphaned and vulnerable children through prevention, you know, it's stepping in and helping a family, providing wraparound care to a family when they need it most, when they are struggling, and helping a family so that the children will not end up in foster care or adoption. Maybe that's the kind of care that we need to provide. Maybe it's offering care in the form of intervention. Often we need to step in as believers and we need to foster. We need to adopt. Sometimes children need to be taken away from their families because they are living in difficult situations. They need to be taken away, and sometimes children are in places where they are adoptable and we need to step in and care in that way. Sometimes we need to get involved in restoration. So there are many different ways that we can care for orphaned and vulnerable children. We are aware of the orphan crisis in South Africa. We are aware of what we call child-headed households. They say in South Africa there are over 55,000 child-headed households. Now that's just what we know about, because most of those children don't tell social workers that they're looking after their siblings, otherwise they might be separated. Imagine being 11 years old, 12 years old, 13 years old, and you have to raise your brothers and sisters. You need to cook, you need to clean, you need to provide for them, and you need to get them and yourself to school. Imagine that in our country. There are over 650,000 double orphans in South Africa, children with no mom, no dad. Over 2.7 to 2.9 children who are orphaned, who's lost either a mom or a dad. It is said that there are thousands of babies abandoned in South Africa every year. Now this morning, I'm not going to convince you, I've already shared some stats there, but I'm not going to try and convince you of the orphan care crisis and the need in South Africa. But this morning I want to have a little bit of a different focus. Maybe as you've seen through the songs that we sung and as you've seen through this passage. This morning I want to have a different focus, and it is a focus on praising God. This morning I want us to focus on praising God as we look at the psalm of praise to God. You see, as we set our focus on who God is, as we focus on who God is, and as we zoom out and as we look at who God is, as we trust God, of course that is going to have an impact on the fatherless, isn't it? As we focus on Him, as we praise Him, it's going to change us and it's going to impact the fatherless. This psalm has been a great encouragement to me in this past week, maybe a couple of weeks. It takes me a little bit longer to prepare. But this psalm has been a great encouragement to me, and I trust it will be to you as well as we get involved in orphan care. Now, if you look at the psalm, Psalm 146, if you look at Psalm 145, verse 21, look at what the psalmist says there. He says, "My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever." So the psalmist says, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and then really it sets everything in motion for the rest of the psalms that comes. You see, because Psalm 146 to Psalm 50 is just psalms of praise. Five hallelujah psalms. Five hallelujah psalms of praise to God. Hallelujah meaning praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Five psalms of praise. Now look at verse 1. The psalmist calls on all people everywhere to praise the Lord. It's not because God is sitting in heaven and He's just this poor being, needy of praise. You know, like we sometimes, we're so selfish and we walk around and we want everyone to praise us. And it's not like God is sitting there in heaven, this needy being, needy of our praise. But instead, we are all His creatures, created by Him, under His authority, enjoying His blessings every single day, every single minute. We are His creation. We are sustained by His power. And we must praise Him. The psalmist is really saying, everyone, atheist, agnostic, everyone, all people, everywhere, every tribe, tongue, nation, praise the Lord, because He alone is worthy of praise. You see, this command is to everyone. It's to everyone. But then also in verse 1, there's this personal call for the psalmist to praise the Lord. There's this personal call, verse 1, to his own soul. Look at the passage. He's basically saying, praise the Lord, soul. Praise the Lord, soul. The psalmist knows how quickly his own soul forgets the benefits of the Lord. Isn't that true? How quickly do we forget the benefits of the Lord? How quickly do we forget His faithfulness to us in life and even in ministry as we get to serve Him? How quickly we forget the Lord's faithfulness? How quickly we forget how the Lord sustained us last year, last week, yesterday? Praise the Lord, soul. Maybe we need a little bit more of that soul self-talk. Isn't that true? Maybe young people, as you go through exams, maybe you need to talk to your soul a little bit. Praise the Lord, soul. Remember how the Lord helped you last exam. Remember that? Praise the Lord now, even in the midst of your exams. Then, of course, the psalmist moves on. And then in verse 2, the psalmist has this confidence. There's this confidence that he will praise the Lord as long as he lives. Isn't that amazing? He says, as long as I live, I will praise the Lord. There's this determination, but there's also this confidence. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. There will be unending praise coming from me. Now, why can he be so confident? Why can he be so confident? Well, firstly, if you have seen something of the glory and of the greatness of God, you cannot unsee it. Okay? It's going to lead to a life of praise, unending praise of God. It's not going to stop. And God is going to be faithful to him. And he's going to continue to praise the Lord for the rest of his life. Now, of course, for the believer, there are moments where we don't praise God. Like I just mentioned with students and exams and all of that. There are moments, there are glimpses, there are times where we do not praise the Lord as we should. But this will not mean that your life will stop ending praising the Lord. There is the confidence of praise for the believer as long as we have our beings that we will continue to praise the Lord. I love this story, and the 15th century John Huss. Maybe you can read a bit more on John Huss. John Huss was a Bohemian priest and reformer. John Huss challenged the established norms of the Roman Catholic Church. You see, John Huss actually sowed the seeds for men like Martin Luther, who would come 100 years later, and we would see the Reformation. But it was men like John Huss and John Wycliffe who would sow the seeds for the Reformation that would come 100 years later. And men like John Huss stood up, and they stood on the authority of the Scriptures. And John Huss, if you go read his story, he was eventually burned for what he believed in. He was burned for his faith, burned on the stake, burned with his books and everything that he wrote. And it was said that they placed sticks around him, sticks up to his neck. And then those sticks were set alight, and the flames engulfed him. And it is said that he sang a hymn so loud and so cheerful that it could be heard above the crackling of the sticks and above the noise of the crowd. Isn't that amazing? Man, that he would sing praises to God while he had his being. Man, that is the confidence that I can have, that we can have this morning, children of God, that we will sing praises to God while we have our being. We are beings of praise. We are beings of praise, people of praise, and as children of God, our praise is directed at God. C.S. Lewis says this. He says, we praise when we speak about what we care about most. We praise when we speak about what we care about most. And of course, our praise is completed when we share that enjoyment with others. We speak about what we care about most here at Central. And then, of course, we come together and we sing about that. Sing about God and His glory and His greatness. And God is honored through that. Now, this morning, you might say, well, why focus on praising God on Pure Religion Sunday or Orphan Sunday? Well, it's because of, look at the rest of the passage. Because as we care for orphans, we need to see the folly of trusting in man. Look at the folly of trusting in man. The passage says, put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath or his spirit departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Now, our tendency is to trust in man. And we see it right through the Scriptures. Remember how Israel would put their trust in man? How Israel wanted a powerful king to deliver them, a powerful king to rule over them. They wanted a powerful king to trust. And what happened with their misplaced trust? Eventually, through Saul, there were lots of heartache for the people of God. Our tendency is to put our trust in man. In the ancient world, rulers were praised and they were treated like demigods. Human representatives of God. People wanted to be praised and treated like gods, and people wanted to put their trust in people because of what they could offer them. That's why we trust people. because of what they can offer us. We often put our trust in princes. Look at verse 4. We put our trust in princes. Now, princes here would be the equivalent of trusting powerful or influential men or women. Isn't that true? Think of how we trust powerful and influential men and women. I don't have to mention the elections in the U.S., but not just there, but look around you. Look in companies. Look in how often we trust powerful and influential men and women. If I can use this example, even in ministry, if I can use the example in our ministry, it's so easy at Bethesda to be tempted to trust big donors. Isn't it true? We put our hope and our trust in those big donors. You know, those guys who make the big donations so that the ministry would be sustained and so that God would continue the work. Instead, how often does God just provide those faithful $50, $100? And He just shows us that God is not going to save us, deliver us through powerful people. God is our deliverer and our savior. It's not the influential that saves, but it is God who saves. Also, we do not trust the government to save. We don't trust government to be the savior of orphans. We don't trust the government to point them to... Yes, the government helps and they step in many different ways, but they are not going to point them to Christ. That's where we need to point them to Christ. Think about the greatest of leaders that you know of. The greatest of leaders have a borrowed power that will fade. They will end up with the rest of great men and women in history books that my son had to study this past week. They will end up in the history books. They will end up in a picture frame on a wall. Some of them, if they're lucky enough or if they've been great enough, they will have a statue that the birds will come and sit and poo on. If you are aware of your own weakness, think about this. I mean, think of how crazy it is. If you know how weak you are, if you are truly aware of your own weakness, imagine anyone looking to you for ultimate deliverance. Man, sure, what a weight. Someone looking to me for ultimate deliverance. Man, that's crazy. I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for you. Okay, if there's anyone putting your hope in me or in any man, I feel sorry for you. Charles Spurgeon said this. He says, "This is the narrow estate of man. His breath, his earth, and his thoughts. And this is the threefold climax therein. His breath goes forth. To his earth he returns. And his thoughts perish. Is this a being to be relied upon? Vanities are vanities. All is vanity. To trust in it would be a still greater vanity." Verse 4 says, "When his breath or his spirit departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day his plans perish." It's when, not if. When? When man departs. Even the strongest of men have limitations. And I remember what John Piper said. He said, "Put your trust in the prince that never dies." Isn't that great? Let's put our trust in the prince, and that we know the prince in Jesus Christ who never dies. So we see the folly of trusting in man. But as we care for orphan and vulnerable children, or as we look to get involved, we also see the true happiness that comes from trusting in the Lord. It's the second point, really. But look at from verse 5 to 7. Verse 5 says, "Blessed." Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be happy? Children, young people, do you want to be happy? Blessed, this passage says, blessed or happy or to be envied is the person whose help is the God of Jacob. You see, true happiness comes from trusting the Lord. Now, why does the psalmist not say, "Blessed are those whose help is the God of Abram"? Why doesn't he say Abram, you know, the father Abram, father of faith? Why does he say Jacob? You see, it is to remind us and it is to remind them of Jacob. Remember Jacob, who messed up so terribly? If God could help Jacob, the lying, cheating thief, you can trust God to help you. You can put your chips on Him. If Jacob's God is your helper, wow, isn't that amazing? What grace, what kindness, what help is available to you? You can have confidence in the unfailing God. You see, we can have confidence in God as the passage continues because we see God as the powerful creator and the sustainer of all things. Verse 6. You see, God created the heavens and the earth, and as we heard last week, He created it out of nothing. Ex nihilo, out of nothing. The sea and everything in it. Some sea creatures have not yet been discovered. They're still discovering some sea creatures. They have not yet seen the depths of the oceans. God is the creator of all things, and He has all the skill and all the insight to know what is best for you and to help you. Isn't that encouraging? What contentment can be ours if this God is our helper? How happy are we? And the psalmist, he doesn't just say that God is a helper, but he speaks from personal experience. Central, I want to ask you this morning, is anything too difficult for our God? Is anything too difficult for our God? Is anything impossible with God? The answer is no. Now, of course we know, and as you're sitting here, you may be thinking, well, what if God's not helping me out of this situation? You see, if God in His wisdom chooses to not change your current situation, it is not because of a lack of ability. It's not because of a lack of ability. God remains helper in and through it. He remains near to you. He remains the one that we are to trust in. Then also the passage continues, we can have confidence in God because of His faithfulness to His creation. Verse 6, God keeps faith forever. God will not give up on His creation. You see, God is not like some earthly rulers that abandon their people when things get difficult or when it's tough. I remember seeing that funny video of a mom standing with a toddler at a water slide, and then someone comes down the water slide and it's just this water splashing, and you see the mom just runs away, and that little toddler is just left alone there, and you think, well, what a great mom, okay, mom of the year, she just left the toddler there to be sprayed by this water, and she just ran. God is not like that, okay. God is not like earthly fathers and mothers, some who would even abandon their children. God will not walk out on you. Psalm 27 verse 10 says this, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." The Lord will take you in to a place to belong, even when your father and your mother has forsaken you. Then also the passage continues, we can have confidence in God because of His justice. God is a God of justice. God is a righteous God who will ultimately act against all injustice. Now before we run to, you know, normally when we read a passage like this, we immediately think of all the injustice that was done against us. Before you run and think of all the injustice that was done against you, which God will judge, by the way, firstly, remember the infinite injustice committed by all people, including you, against a holy and a righteous God. God will judge all injustice of every single person. God is a God of justice. But God is also a God who can show mercy. God can show mercy towards the sinner, and here's the reason why. Because of Jesus Christ. You see, God can show mercy towards the sinner because of Jesus Christ, who is righteous. And the righteous demands of God has been met. And through faith in Jesus Christ, what Jesus does is Jesus gives you a righteousness that's not your own. If you trust and believe in Jesus Christ, if you put your faith in Him, His righteousness gets given to you. He takes your punishment He takes the punishment in your place so that you can go free, so that you can be forgiven. The righteous dies for the unrighteous so that we can go free. Now that's the message that people need to hear. That's the message that the orphan also needs to hear. That's why we're involved in orphan care ministry. We want to point the orphans to Christ, who takes care of this injustice. Every act of injustice in this world will either be judged in Christ, or it will be judged by Christ. That's the two options. Either it'll be judged in Christ, either the injustice will be judged in Christ or by Christ Himself. Passage also continues and it says, we can have confidence in God as provider. God provides food for the hungry. He doesn't just provide for the sparrow, but He provides for people. Human beings made in the image of God with worth and value and dignity. He provides for us. And how does He do it? Of course, He does it through us helping and providing, but also He does it through honest work. As His people works and trusts Him, He provides and sustains His people. He's a God of all power, yes, but He's also a God of all compassion as He provides for those in need. The passage, look at the rest of the passage, says, the Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. What sets God apart is that God has compassion on groups that the princes and the influential people and the powerful people don't often want to associate with. You see, God steps in. God is a God who steps towards these groups of people that we've just read about when the world often steps away. God is different. And why should that give you and me hope this morning that we serve a God who steps towards groups of people like this? Because that means that God is willing to step towards you and me. You see, you may not be in bondage and in a literal prison, but God being supreme, having all authority, having all power, has the power and the ability to set prisoners free. And we have all been slaves. We have all been imprisoned. Not in literal prison, but we have been imprisoned by sin. Also, we've been imprisoned by the law, as Galatians says. Galatians, if you look at the passage in Galatians 3 verse 21, it speaks about how the law imprisoned us and how we were later set free by faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3 verse 20, 21 and 22. And you can go read that. Galatians 3 verse 23 says, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. Now, you may not be physically blind this morning, but we all have a spiritual blindness. And as Ephesians 1 verse 8 shows us, that we need the eyes of our hearts enlightened by God. You see, God is the miracle worker that doesn't just open the eyes of the blind, but He opens the eyes of our hearts to see Him, to see Jesus Christ. Now, you might also be weighed down this morning under the weight of the world and the troubles and even sin. And God has the ability to lift you up. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11 verse 28? Think of what Jesus said. He said, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus Christ comes and He lifts this burden that we have. We can trust Him this morning. Then verse 9 it says, the Lord watches over the sojourners and the foreign. Sojourners meaning the foreigner. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. God the Father cares for the most vulnerable and the most needy in society. He looks out for those at the bottom, as one pastor says. He looks out for those at the bottom. You see, there's hope for the orphan. But there's also hope for you and me this morning. When you and I come to God as those who are helpless, as those who are needy, as those who are poor, as those who are vulnerable, totally dependent on the Lord, He saves us. As we come to Him as those on the bottom, He saves us. He miraculously saves us and transforms us and works in our lives. Now, central as we wrap up this message, as we see something of God's heart for the orphan, as we see something of God's heart for the vulnerable, and as we see something of God's heart for us, as we come to Him as an orphan, as those who are vulnerable, what starts to happen is we start to have more and more of God's heart towards the orphan and the vulnerable. We move towards those who people normally tend to move away from. Now, it is difficult to read the psalm and not see Jesus Christ in it. Isn't that true? Jesus Christ is God, as we saw last week in the book of Colossians. In the New Testament, we see Jesus Christ, we see His power, but we also see His compassion. Remember how we see how Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, how Jesus provided food for the hungry. You read this passage and you see Jesus, Jesus, Jesus as Lord. You see, Psalm 146 presents Jesus Christ as God, as Lord, and it leads us to praise not just Yahweh of the psalm, but Jesus Christ as God, even on this pure religion Sunday. Let's pray together. Lord, we end, even as the psalm ends, the Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. O God, we realize that You care for the vulnerable, but God, we also realize that You use Your people. We are Your ambassadors, and God, we are Your hands and we are Your feet. And we do pray, God, that You would use us. God, we open our eyes to see the many different ways that we can be involved to care for the orphan and the vulnerable. God, we are reminded that we come to a Father who loves us. And we think of that passage that says, behold, what love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. That we, why us? That we should be called children of God when we have done nothing but rebelled against You, when we've done nothing but sinned against You, when we have done nothing but been proud and arrogant, and that we should be called the children of God. And God, if we think of the many blessings that come with being Your children, what joy, what happiness, what contentment is ours. God, even as we come to the table now and as we prepare our hearts to receive the bread and the cup, God, we do pray that You would help us to see sin in our lives and help us to repent and turn from sin and see the greatness of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.